Scripture memory verse tonight, Ephesians 6:15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15. Anybody else? It's a pretty easy one tonight.
Is that all that's in that?
Ephesians 6:15, yeah.
It's having shod your feet with the preparation of gospel peace. Yeah.
Nobody else want to try it?
Yeah. Ephesians 6:15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15.
Good job. Anybody else?
King James Version. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Ephesians 6:15?
Mm-hmm. Old King James.
Old King James. King James. Anybody else?
That's a good thing to put on your feet, though.
Right. Yeah. So, again, we're doing spiritual armor. We're looking at this. This is an attitude. I don't know about you guys, but I try to encourage people to put on the armor every day, every morning as you spend time with the Lord. And it's an attitude where you're reminding yourself that you're living in Christ, you're putting on Christ, and that the enemy is going to come attacking. And so we put on the armor of God. And we've been going through this for several weeks now. And we want to understand what it is that we do. We put on truth. That's it. Put on Christ. Every piece of the armor is Christ. In fact, here even Christ is our peace. We're told over in Ephesians 2. You can back up a couple pages here into 2:14. And it says clearly, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Okay, he is our peace. Every piece of armor, as we look at it, we'll see that it's because it's Christ. And we're always going to see that it's Christ. So it's an attitude. And Paul is sitting here on house arrest. And he's got Roman soldiers right in front of him. And so he's looking at their armor. He's looking at their belt of truth. And he's looking at that. And so he uses that. We can see that easily from not just soldiers, but from police officers in our communities. Yeah. He puts on the belt. And then he puts on the breastplate of righteousness. And they would have had breastplates in those days to guard their heart, to guard their emotions is what we would look at. And then he says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is very interesting. And sometimes people look at it differently about what's going on here. Listen, the battle is already won. The battle is won in Christ. Our call is to stand. Well, where do we stand? And we're standing in his victory. And we're handing out truth. We're learning truth so that we're prepared for the battle when it comes, for the lie when it comes, for the enemy when the bad doctrine comes, for the tribulation when it comes, the suffering, the pain. And we know that God is on our side. So we have to shod our feet and be ready with that, because it's just as simple. The battle's won. We're standing. We're not trying to fight for victory. We're just reminding ourselves to be obedient to Christ. Even in the bad, even when somebody reviles us, even when somebody is threatening us or we're suffering, we don't return evil for evil. We're trying to stand in the victory of Christ and allow him to prepare us and make us ready. So the best defense here, our defense here is so you can go on the offense. Now pay attention, because the belt of truth is a defensive weapon. The breastplate is defensive. Our feet being shod is defensive. All the way up till we get to the sword of the Spirit, they're all defensive weapons. But in the defense, it's the best offense, because you're defending. When somebody lies to you, when something is a lie, or you begin to feel shame or condemnation, now you know what the truth is, and you can say, no, that's the flesh. That's the devil. That's the world. That's not the truth of who I am in Christ Jesus. And so we want to be prepared. We're always preparing ourselves for tomorrow because the battle's going to come tomorrow. Maybe it's after this Bible study. The battle's going to come right afterwards. So we're shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the enemy's going to come and lie to us. You know, he's going to come and he's going to act like he's a roaring lion, right? But he's a liar. He has no teeth. He's teethless. He has no teeth. He's going to come and act like he can destroy us and this is going to be terrible. But he's a liar. He's going to come like he did with Jesus in Matthew 4. He's going to come like an angel of light. And he's going to quote scripture. See, there's all kinds of false antichrists out there, preachers, teachers, and they're quoting scripture, but they're using them and misinterpreting them and not using them correctly. So it's so important for us to understand what truth is and to be led by the Spirit and to understand that we're having our feet shod and ready, prepared for the gospel of peace. So we're moving through this. And of course, your feet is stability. When you're talking about your walk, your shodding, it's the word hupodeo. Like you have hupotasso, where you're subordinating yourself in orderly rank under. This is hupodeo, and it means to bind something under your feet, or it can be as simple as putting on your shoes or your sandals on your feet, which is your walk. Now the Roman soldiers or the people that fought in those days, they, you know, there's several things. I read somewhere where they would, I think they did it in Vietnam War too, but I was reading it, so a lot of things haven't changed. But they would dig little holes and they would put spiky sticks in the ground. And so if you just had on a pair of regular shoes and you stepped on that, now your feet are all messed up and you can't even fight in battle because your feet are messed up. This is where your stability is, where your balance is. You know, you're using your feet. But at the same time, they had these leather shoes that had spikes in them, right? And they put like nails through the sandals all the way through them. And they were always able to push forward and move forward and fight going forward. And sheep, you and I, we are forward-moving animals. If you look up the word sheep, that's what it means, a forward-moving cattle. They don't go backward. So we're always having our feet shod to move forward, to grow in the grace and the knowledge. We're not supposed to be going backward. We're supposed to be growing every day. In everything that we do, we're supposed to be growing. So he's telling us to shod our feet, to make sure our feet are protected and it means to position or place or the instrumentality of what? The gospel of peace. And here the preparation is the big word that we really want to look at. I mean, I know we want to look at gospel of peace, but the word preparation is a huge word that means, it's only used one time right here. This is the only time in the Greek. The act of preparing. That's huge, isn't it? Preparation. And that we just figured out it's the act of preparing. To make ready. To make ready what? To make ready your walk. To be prepared today. You're going to be prepared right now. And everything about meeting together as believers in church on Sunday, in Bible study, or when you get into the Word, Prayer, and Fellowship, and you're reading, and you're looking for Jesus, and you're asking, Lord, what is the truth here that I need to learn? You are preparing to be able to stand tomorrow. To stand later. So that you're not defeated by the enemy's lies. You're not defeated by, boom, here comes something like, normally you say it blindsided me. But see, we know we're in a war. We know we're in a spiritual war. So we're waiting and we're asking God to give us self-discipline so we can be ready that when it comes, it's not something we just go, blah, like you hit the wrong nail with your hand, with a hammer, you hit the wrong nail and you just go, ah, and you cuss up a storm about it. But no, we're ready now. Because we have the Spirit of God that's preparing us today and equipping us and making us ready for what the enemy's coming tomorrow. And that's what God always is doing. He's always preparing us. It might be a little bitty small trial that we say, nope, I'm just going to bite my tongue. I'm not going to say nothing. But that makes us ready and prepares us for the big thing tomorrow where it comes and it attacks us and you go, nope, I already learned how to bite my tongue. I already learned that I'm standing and I'm waiting and I'm trying to win the whole war, not just this one little battle. And I'm just going to be still and keep praying. And we learn how to do these things. We're shodding our feet. And it really, when you talk about the feet, it's always talking about the walk, the daily walk. That every day we're getting up and we prepare ourselves with our daily bread. See, we're making ready for what? Many times people think we're making ready for a battle. Like, I'm going to go fight. I'm getting my sword sharpened up and I'm going to fight. We're standing. Standing so that we can take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ and be ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. We're just standing in the victory. Everything is already ours. Everything is already given to us. And all we have to do is learn the truth and stand in it. And that's what the preparation is about. It's preparing us to be able to stand and not run away. Listen, that's the problem today. So many people are running away. That's the problem today, that when people won't stand, they won't stand, they give in, they give up, they shut up. And we're supposed to be speaking up. We're not supposed to let the earthly, central, demonic wisdom stand in areas when they're talking about something about Jesus or God or the Bible. We are learning truth, having our feet shod with the preparation so that we can move forward and in wisdom speak the truth in love and correct those who are in opposition. This is what we're called to do, but in a godly way. Never in a reviling way. Never in a way where we're trying to destroy somebody. We have to always remember the gospel is always about restoration. And we have to be wise as a serpent and gentle as doves. Because what happens is because they're offended by our flesh, then they don't listen to the Spirit. If we're in the flesh and we revile back or we aren't prepared for what's coming, but God has always prepared us. You can go into tomorrow knowing that God has already prepared you for what was coming. He knew it was coming. He knows what's going on. And he said, pay attention to me today. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you today into the Word of God, and he will equip you for what you need in the next moment. And it's so amazing. So many times you just be praying, and then you get up and you go out, you just read or something, and you go, wow. And then somebody says, well, what about this? You go, I just read that. What in the world's going on? And you just read it, so it's fresh on your mind. God just talked to you about it, so you're ready to be able to share the truth of that. And that's why you have to be getting your daily bread. Because that day when you're reading, you're preparing for your walk because you're getting ready to get up and go out. And whether it's an attack or somebody just has a question, and you can be ready to give an answer for every man for the hope that lies within you because you just read that. You just prepared for that. And that's what God wants to do when you begin to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you say, Lord, I want to have this attitude that I know that I am nothing. I need to be dead to self and alive to what your Spirit is doing, and we want souls to come to salvation. It's not God's will that any would perish, but all would come to salvation. So when we go out there and we get into arguments or we get into battles or we're at the business and we're fighting over these little bitty things, we're forgetting about it. We're being sucked into the battle of the physical, and we forget about the spiritual, that every person that's out there, what they're doing and how they're acting and what they're saying is because of who the Lord of their life is. No matter what, no matter how many times somebody says, well, Jesus is my Lord, well, why is everybody at home worshiping Purdue right now? If Jesus is your Lord, why are we not in the Word of God? You have no problem yelling. I'm not picking just on Purdue. It's all the games. It's all the entertainment. It's all the things that people are doing instead of being concerned about souls. Listen, they have no problem yelling and doing a wave and doing a dance and having this whole religion around Purdue University. There's a whole religion of how you dance and how you celebrate and what you do. And they don't have no problem speaking up with that because it's earthly, central, demonic words. But then when you go to church, they don't want to lift their hands. They don't want to show up. They don't want to sing. They don't want to worship. And they're afraid to represent God that way. But we will represent a basketball team or a football team. And we'll spend all that money for a ticket to get in. And God, the gospel's free. Church is free. Jesus is free. And it's for eternity. And I'm not picking on people just because they go to a sporting event. But it's when you worship it. And that's exactly what's doing when you bow down to it. It becomes the most important thing. It becomes what controls your Friday. It becomes what controls your life and your whole season. I mean, we know there's people that go into depression when football season's over with. They go into depression and they watch reruns so that they can get a fix. You know, this is addictive stuff, and the devil knows it. The devil knows that this stuff is addictive. Now they design video games to actually attack the addictive part of the brain in kids so they can win them and have control of them all of their lives. And we need to be wise to their tricks. And we need to shod our feet so we can be ready to answer what people are talking about. Because most people cannot answer because, you know what? They're not reading the Bible. They're not learning what the gospel of peace is. They're not learning how to rightly divide the word of truth. They're not daily getting into the word of God. And this is not legalism, guys and gals. This is called sanctification. We're putting on Christ. We're becoming like the one who died for us and shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that we can be ready in all things to talk to other people about the gospel. That's part of it. Look, preparation is this. The act of preparing to make ready your walk. It's the condition of a person as prepared and preparedness and readiness is. Are you ready today? What are you doing to prepare yourself for your walk tomorrow? I mean, because if there's no plan and it's haphazard, that's a bad plan. Everything else we have plans. Everything else we say what we're going to do. I say get into the word, get into prayer, get into fellowship. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you so that you will be prepared and ready and you will recognize a lie. You will recognize the attack. You will recognize the wiles of the devil, his methods, as soon as you see them in the room. As soon as somebody says something to you, you'll have discernment that they're trying to manipulate you into something instead of asking you what they're really saying. I mean, that's what God gives you. If you're preparing, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're asking Him, you can see so much more. But it does not mean you have to speak up and start an argument. It does not mean that you have to say anything, but then you know what's going on and you know how to react to the earthly central demonic wisdom. So it's the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the problem is we're not prepared, so we get sucked in. Let's look over at 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're not prepared, so what we do is we get caught up in 2 Timothy. I just want to go to a few places. We'll read a few scriptures and try to walk this through. It's not. There's only a couple words that you can really gang up on and preach a message from and understand from. Preparation and gospel of peace. That's what we're doing. Because we want to be at peace. Why did Christ come? He came to give peace to every person. He's offering peace. He's saying peace to anybody who wants it. I died for you. Now there's peace. You're an enemy of God and you can have peace with God. That's the gospel that we're supposed to be. The ministry of reconciliation. Again, I go over to these verses. I really just wanted to go to verse 4, but then I start looking at it and I say, we might as well do a little bit of it and really look at it in depth. Chapter 2, verse 1, because this is it. When you're preparing, you're also learning that you're helping prepare somebody else. As you prepare your walk, you're being a witness to somebody else and you're helping make a disciple. And in this sense, Paul was the spiritual father to Timothy. And then he's talking to Timothy, who he's left at the church in Ephesus. And he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So that's not strong in a bank account. That's not strong in your muscles. That's not strong in your voice or your tone or your demeanor. It's the grace of God. God's riches at Christ's expense is where we're supposed to be standing at. He's already given us everything we need. And our position is to stand, to remain, to abide, continue in the victory of Christ, understanding that we are overwhelmingly more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He's already won everything. And then it says in 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so we're shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that we will be able to live out loud and teach other men, because we're supposed to become disciples. Everything that we do, we want to sow it into somebody else's life. So it has to be like just like Jesus in Acts chapter 1, all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And the word teach there doesn't necessarily mean that you're a teacher, but we teach others by our actions. How did people learn to do drugs? By watching other drug addicts. How do people learn to be electricians? By listening to what was told them of what's going on in the electrician field. It's in everything. They become what's called an apprentice, but we are becoming disciples. And so what you do, people watch. And what they like to do is they watch and then they look and they go, I'm going to be like that because that really fits my flesh. I like what that Christian's doing. That Christian ain't doing nothing. All he said was a prayer and I can follow him real easy because we're going to run down the road and do what we want. See, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be, we've been set free to follow Jesus. And if people followed you, where would they end up at? And so, see, listen, this is the starting point. Where do we get, see, as you grow? Because you should always be on the grow. And that's what we should be doing. So Paul's just saying what he learned, and who did he learn it from? He spent 3 years in Syria at the feet of Jesus, according to the book of Galatians. He went over and was really, I mean, Jesus spoke with him. Or was it Arabia? But he spoke with him for like 3 years. And then he come back and he began to teach. And that's where we go. Just like the boys went to Jesus to get the bread and the fish and they took it and gave it to the people. They went to Jesus to get the bread and the fish and they take it to the people. We're shodding our feet so we can take it to the people. Our walk will go out. We're gonna get there. But really, the preparedness and the readiness is what we need to be. And it automatically will come out. See, some people say it's really not about evangelism. It's not really about this text, shod in your feet, is not really about taking the gospel out, but it's just being ready to be prepared to stand. And that's it, when the attack comes, when the wilds come. But it's both, because you cannot prepare yourself to stand and then have it in your body and go, I ain't telling nobody. Because if you're preparing yourself to stand and to withstand the enemy so that you can see the lie, then it's going to become like a fire in your bosom and you're going to have to share the gospel with somebody. You just won't have, if you're preparing yourself, you won't have any other choice. You'll say, man, I've got the Spirit of God in me that wants every man to be saved, every soul to come to salvation, and now I'm putting the Word of God in me and I'm preparing my heart to be ready. Well, ready for what? Because we don't have to fight, we're just standing. Well, what have we been called to do? To go to all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So they kind of go hand in hand. And I'll show you that here in a minute. Because the words for gospel, all the words are the same. They come from the same words. They're not the same, but they come from the same words. So look at this. We're supposed to be able to teach others also. And only the Spirit of God can do these things in us as we surrender and get in line with following what the Spirit is doing, and then we give the glory to God. Verse 3, you therefore, he's speaking to Timothy, must endure, suffer, hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I mean, these are scriptures that clearly tell us we're not supposed to be caught up. See, you know, and it's crazy. Can you imagine right now if and I'm not picking on anybody, but if Generation X was called up to war, I mean, and had to go defend our country, they'd be like texting in, listen, I am not ready for that right now. I didn't even get 8 hours sleep last night, and I am not ready to go to war. I cannot make it. I'm going to have to stay home because my dog is sick. I mean, they would just have every excuse in the world. And we had 16 to 18-year-old boys storming the beaches of Normandy when Christ was the center of this nation, when Christ was the center of things. And it's just crazy the things that people would do. They don't even like our country anymore because they've been brainwashed with earthly, central, demonic wisdom to deceive the elect if it were possible. And so we're not supposed to be falling for this. And I don't even like to make statements like that because seriously, I want to win the next generation. But it just seems like they don't want to hear nothing because they've been brainwashed already. They've been brainwashed already. They think that all they have to do is say a prayer and they get to go to heaven. And that's what the church thinks today. The church thinks the only thing you have to do to go to heaven is say a prayer. And you cannot find that in the Bible. And that's the problem. If you can't find it in the Bible, then it's probably a deception from the Antichrist trying to deceive you from the gospel. And that's why we should be shodding our feet. That's why we should be sharing our faith. That's why we should be teaching others the same thing that we've learned from the scriptures so that they can grow. But it's not our position to make anybody hear it. All we have to do is share it. It's like tossing seed. I can't make it grow on the ground. But I can do all the due diligence. I can make the soil ready. I can plow it up. I can dig the furrow right. I can make a straight row. I can do everything. I can water it. I can plant it. But I cannot give it life. Only God can give life to that seed, even when I put it in the ground. And so even when I share the gospel with somebody, only God can give that person the unction to grab a hold of it and go, that's my truth, that's my identity, that's my kingdom, that's my inheritance, and I want to be part of that. And they become part of it. And we're knitted together with joints and sinews. We're a whole body in the spiritual realm with Christ as the head. That's amazing stuff, that we can fit together and learn our part, and somebody can be an arm, and somebody can be a leg, and somebody can be a mouth, and we all work together to share Christ with the masses. But we cannot, if we're engaged in this warfare, and remember, our warfare is just standing, I'm not going to go into a lot of this, we cannot be entangled and braided in where we're trapped in the middle of the world and we're not free to do what Christ has called us to do. And it's just that simple. We have to understand that we've been set free, we've been anointed, we've been called, we have the Spirit of God, we're not here for ourselves, we're ambassadors in Christ, as if Christ was pleading through us, be reconciled to God. That's why almost every customer I go to in my job, I share Jesus with them. I prayed with a lady yesterday, it was a 2-year anniversary of her daughter dying of cancer. Her husband had died 10 years ago. I mean, and she was like a science mind, and she really didn't believe in God. And I said, can I pray for you? And she said, I won't object to that, but she doesn't believe in Jesus. And so I shared the whole gospel with her, you know, and it's amazing to be able to do that. And she wasn't offended because the Spirit of God was there. But some of my customers do get offended. They call in on me and they get mad. But I say, okay, have a nice day. How's your carpet look? Anyway, so listen, we've been called, we've been enlisted in the army of the living God. And we need to be careful not to get caught up in the affairs of this life. And see, that's what the enemy's tricking us into, is caught up in the affairs of this life, the things that are going on, the physical affairs of this life, and worrying about them. And there's no way to please him who enlisted us as a soldier, because the soldier's life is a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. The soldier's life is a life of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For you first must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then he goes on with another analogy in verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, you can take that and you can make a whole lot of stuff about that. But we're competing in the gospel of peace. Unless we do it according to the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the plan of God, you're not really competing in the same game. And so many people are not competing in the gospel of salvation, the gospel of peace, because they're not shodding their feet. They're not listening to the commands of the Word of God. And listen, you can't make them listen. It's a spiritual thing. If they have the Spirit of God, they will automatically go, what? And they will want to listen. They will want to read. But some people, they start to read and then they just kind of go and fall by the wayside and they're done. Okay? It's just because the heart is not ready for it. It doesn't mean that they can't get back up and go again later. I don't know. I mean, I know that God's grace is amazing. But we have to understand that the affairs of this life will choke out that seed. It'll choke it out. And then you'll be like, what happened? How come they're doing that and I'm doing this? You know, because we got to stay persistent in surrendering to God and asking God to give us a desire for the Word of God. And then daily shod your feet to prepare you for the next day. And you're adding to the Logos, you're adding to it. Just like they build all these crazy spaceships and everything with the Legos, they add to it. You get that box, and I've been in some houses where some people got some crazy starships. Battle Galactica, or whatever it is, I don't even know. And they have these whole cities. And they had to start one Lego at a time and follow the rules, or they wouldn't get what was on the box, the picture. And it's the same thing that we have as salvation. And the enemy wants us to get some other salvation, to follow some other plan, to have this little, this culture entity and this worldly gospel that has nothing to do with the ministry of reconciliation of souls. All it has to do with is us getting more, 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 you know, and us looking better and us doing better. You fall asleep and drop your Bible?
No.
I was teasing you. Yeah. I thought maybe I was being boring. It's terrible, isn't it? But that's what people do. They fall asleep and they drop their Bibles. And they quit looking at their Bibles. I mean, listen to me. It's the number one, has been the number one best-selling book on the planet for how long? You can't just buy one and have a Bible and think you're going to heaven. I mean, we're saved by grace. Listen, you can't do anything to get more saved than what Jesus already saved us. But if we're saved, His Spirit comes in and gives us a desire to die to self and be more like Christ. And so we start doing that in a progress as we run the race and we compete. We're going to get a crown if we do it according to the gospel of peace, according to the rules that have been laid out. But don't end up at the end of your life and go, wow, I've been following man. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. If you're going to follow a man, make sure he's being led by the Spirit of God. Test the spirits. We got to run by the rules. Number six, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So you reap what you sow. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So listen, he's just saying, ponder it. Hold that in your mind and think about it and pray about it and be a Berean about it. And may the Lord give you an understanding in all things, because he's capable of doing it. And then verse 8 is a new beginning. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And this is part of why I'm talking about this, the gospel of peace. These are things that are important to the gospel of peace when we get there. We're preparing now. We're learning about it so we'll understand what truly the gospel of peace is. You go to some places and you might think the gospel of peace was something about, you know, getting your dog and your cat back and you get, you know, a whole bunch of money and that everything's going to be okay. It is harder to live for Jesus with the gospel of peace than it is just to run around and bounce off of everything that's going on. You can walk around in the flesh and have a great time and feel like you're doing okay. But if you're living for Jesus, guess what? The wiles of the devil are coming. The methods are coming. The attacks are coming. The lies are going to come. The ostracizing is going to come. The peer pressure is going to come for you to compromise the gospel and not to do what the Bible says, but to do what the church is doing or what the other people are doing. All of that is going to come your way if you're trying to walk out the gospel. So we have to know what the true gospel is, or we will be following a lie like so many people are. Because that's what the enemy does. That's why our feet have to be shod with the preparation, with the readiness, so that we can stand no matter what. If we're the only ones, me and Jesus is a majority. Okay? We're a majority. You and Jesus is a majority. But make sure it's Jesus and not Jesus. It can't be Jesus. Has to be Jesus. Sorry. It has to be the gospel of our salvation. That's what he's saying here. According to the gospel, the good news, which is euangelion. Euangelion, which is some great words. I like those words. We'll get back to it in a minute when we get back over here. Euangelion. Are you readying yourself with the euangelion, the gospel of peace? For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Look how upside downward it is. Listen, but where's this trouble coming from? You got to pay attention to this. Me and Mike was talking about yesterday morning. One way. Listen, you don't remember? Because I ain't said it yet. He's suffering trouble as an evildoer because of the persecution from the so-called church. See, he's standing with his feet shod with the true gospel. He's not agreeing with their gospel, And so then he gets thrown in prison. He's delivered up. They wanted to kill him because they said he was preaching things contrary to the God of the Bible. So that's what's going to happen again. That's what's our enemy. We don't have to worry about the world. They're evil. They're lost. They don't even know God. They're just running in their own lanes. It's the church that is blaspheming the gospel. It's the church that's not learning the Bible. It's the church that's trying to build their own little church and their own little kingdoms instead of saving souls that we have to worry about, because they're going to call us the Jesus freak and the evildoer and the one that's preaching false gospel, when in fact they're just preaching AI gospel. When you read a commentary and you teach a commentary, that's artificial intelligence. That didn't come from the Holy Spirit. It came from a book. It didn't come from God and from His Bible. If you just repeat what somebody else has said, you can learn that in any college and in any place. We are having a personal love relationship with the God of the universe who puts His Spirit in us. We do not have to just repeat rote prayers. We don't have to repeat commentaries. We can have the Spirit anoint us with an unction to share the gospel of truth. And that's what we should be doing. But so many people are afraid, just like I was talking about it yesterday, about all the cars and the vehicles and how they're all pretty much the same, even though they advertise that they're not. But they're so afraid to move away from the benchmark, so they all design something that looks like the other that's already sold, because they're afraid to go over here and invent something that's so totally different. So they all steal from each other all the time. And what are they working on over there? And they get guys in a tree and they're looking at them with the binoculars, trying to watch their cars and steal what they're doing. Corporate espionage or something is what it's called. And that's what goes on in the church. What do? They got a school bus. We're going to go get a school bus too. What'd they do? They got a coffee house. We're going to go get us a coffee house. What'd they do? They got some smoke and mirrors. We're going to go get us some smoke and mirrors. None of that's in the Bible. How about surrender to the Holy Spirit, to the gospel of peace? I'm not being mean. I'm not picking on anybody's bride. I'm not picking on anybody that's trying to be led by the Spirit. I've read commentaries. I read commentaries. I'm not picking on them, but that is not what I'm preaching from. I'm just not preaching from a commentary. It's not going to, that's artificial intelligence. And that's what it's made to do. Just like the news media, they all have one dictionary for what words mean and what words they can use for certain situations. This is the politically correct word you can use about LGBTQ. This is the politically correct word you can use about China. This is the political, they have all the same dictionary, okay? We have the Bible. This is what the church should know, is that everybody else is using their books and training people in earthly, central, demonic wisdom, but God has given us the true gospel of peace to shod our feet with, so we can go out and walk in freedom. We can go out and walk with integrity. We can go out and walk in Christ. We can go out and live a life and share the gospel, and people can come to salvation and come to know our God when we do that. I got excited. I'm sorry. But many people are going to suffer trouble as an evildoer. I wish I had a dollar for every time they said, that's Greg's opinion, and that's Greg, and he's a little oversaved, or whatever they say about me. But I'm just preaching the Bible. I give scripture and verse, but I'm the guy that's not talking about the right thing. That's not the gospel. It's the verse. Read the Bible. You can't argue back with the Bible. You can't, if you can, I'll digress. I'll say, I stand corrected. Just show me in the Bible where it says it, and I'll stand corrected, because I want to be right with God. I'm endeavoring to do what is right. But and I don't mean that emphatically. Most people are not reading their Bible. They're listening only to the AI of the pastor that's preaching. They're listening only to what he's saying, and that's a secondhand relationship. What'd my wife say? Would you really put up with that in marriage? What did my wife say? Instead of talking to your own wife? I'm the bride of Christ. I want to talk straight from, I'm coming boldly into the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's why he died. The veil was rent from top to bottom. So we can come in, and everybody stays out in the Gentile court. What you got? What are you reading? Let me read your book. What? Go into the throne room, into the face of God, and see the glory of God, and have His light shine upon you. And then He'll teach you to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He'll teach you how to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Then we'll know what the will of the Lord is. We'll find it out. We'll be prepared. I get a little excited here. I'm sorry.
In fact, the veil was torn on today.
Yes, I started to say that, but on today. Today, Good Friday. So don't be surprised when you suffer, but you need to be ready. Listen, he suffers as an evildoer. I want to keep going back to this because Paul's one of the greatest examples after Christ that we see that is walking it out, and he's going through these things, and you can see the gospel around him. And the guy's left for dead. He's shipwrecked 3 times. I mean, he's arrested. He's beaten. Everything because he was preaching the gospel. He writes 4 books to people from prison because he was preaching the gospel. It wasn't because he was doing anything wrong. It was because the religious authority did not like what he was saying. And we call this the Bible now. But today, if you preach something out of the Bible, they act like you're the Jesus freak and there's something wrong. Instead of preaching out of a commentary. Or preaching what some denominational line means. I'm just looking for a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavenlies. And he's coming soon to get us. So he says he suffers as an evildoer, even to the point of change, but the word of God is not changed. Think about that for a minute. The word of God is not changed. No matter what somebody does to you, the word of God sets people free. It's not in bondage. Jesus is freedom. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, and he don't even know who they are at that moment, God's chosen people, that they also may obtain deliverance from the sin nature, salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's the finish line right there, glorification. And he says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure or suffer hardships with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. So if you choose a different plan, a different gospel, a different path, if you're caught up and entangled and you don't know the gospel, I'm just kind of reading this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. See, God's going to do what he's going to do, but we are privileged to be involved with it. The gospel of peace. So are you preparing yourself? Are you getting ready to be able to give an answer to every man for the hope that lies within you? Are you studying to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, who rightly divides the word of truth and needs not to be ashamed? What are we preparing for? Preparing. We're shodding our walk. Everything that we do is saturated by the Spirit of God of the gospel of peace. Are you prepared? Are you preparing the gospel of peace in your life? Now listen, we don't have to be anything. Well, I'm a scholar in the Bible. Didn't you see the PhD behind my name and the doctorate? I'm not picking on them. If they got them, they got them. They can look at the worldly accolades all they want. You don't have to be that. Moses didn't go to any schools. He went to the school of hard knocks, to the backside seminary in the desert, fighting with some crazy sheep, trying to get through the heat of the day. That's all Moses did. But he was trying to escape the world. And God was taking the world out of him. He wasn't trying to get some PhDs behind his name. And Moses delivered 2.5 million people just by listening to God. That's the way it's supposed to be done. That's the and I'm not preaching against education, so to speak, or on purpose. I'm saying education can harm you. Man's education can harm you if you do not let it be looked at through the sunglasses of the Bible. Sure, we can learn to do their systems. They made those systems up, and then they teach us how to follow their systems. But this is God's plan. We have to learn from him. He's the professor. He's the teacher. He sends his Spirit. Are you being prepared? Because it's coming. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the day to prepare ourselves. Look at, well, you know what? We're still in chapter 2 of Timothy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to skip all the way down to verse 20. You can read it later. For sake of time, we're running out of time. But in a great house, there are many, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. Of course, gold is deity, silver is redemption. But also of wood and clay. Now, wood is flesh and clay is flesh. Both of them are representative of flesh. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, and the only way to cleanse yourself is through the Holy Spirit, the washing of the water through the word, and that's by surrendering to the work of God. From the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, that's set apart, useful for the master, prepared, that's why we're here, preparation, prepared for every good work. When we allow the Holy Spirit to wash us and cleanse us with the washing of the water through the word, it sets us apart, it sanctifies and cleanses us, and puts us in the hands of the master and prepares us for every good work. And then he says, flee also youthful lust. It's the desires that you had. We're raised up in our country of the American dream. We're raised up and taught you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. That is not good. That's pride. That's arrogance. That's rebellion. What did God create you to do? What did God create? When you get saved, now you have to leave all of that behind. You do it like Paul did. He counted it all dung. Paul counted it all dung that he might know Christ and be found with his righteousness, not the righteousness that he could have from the law. He counted it all dung. And it's so hard to do, to say, take it all, Lord. I lay it all down and I want to know what you have. Prepare me, shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you flee useful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. What we're at with others that are in fellowship together who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See that? That's what he's telling them to do. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Man, I've been in a lot of those. I'm learning to avoid them. Knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance to change their mind so that they may know the truth. Look, that's what repentance is about, isn't it? That they may know Christ, that they may know the truth, the way of truth. And notice this, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's what happens when we don't read our Bible. We think we're okay, but we've been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Instead of, we need to repent and come to our senses. And that's why we go out. That's why we proclaim. That's why we prepare ourselves and we read through the Bible. We study the Bible. We get before God in prayer. And we trust him to teach us. And we know that no matter what goes on in this Bible, even if I can't understand it, it's still true. When he tells it, it's still true. No matter what. Can't figure it out. But I know it's true, Lord, so I'm going to do it. I trust you, Lord. And then he goes into the chapter about perilous times, right? And at the end of that chapter, he tells you the antidote, which is all scripture is inspired by God. All the word. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped, prepared for every good work. Ready is what he says. Ready. Equipped is the word, but it means readiness. It means prepared. It means you're now ready for the work that God gives you to do. And that's what we need to have. So let's look back at our text. The gospel of peace, right? Euangelion. That's a nice word, isn't it? Euangelion. I love that word. That's what the gospel means. It means good news. It comes from the word eu, which means well done or good, and angelos, which means a messenger, especially an angel. It means somebody that brings glad tidings. Los Angeles, angelos, lost angels, yeah. Lost messengers, yeah, that's what it means. City of angels is what they say it means. means they're lost. So the gospel is the euangelion, the good news, a good message. And then it comes from a word, euangelizo, also. And so they've all come from this word. And then there's another one, euangelistics. So euangelizo is evangelize. And when you're an evangelist, it's euangelistis. I can't pronounce them all, but I'm just trying to let you know that they're all the same word about the good news and delivering that message. And what's that message? You announce good news. What is it? Peace. Peace to all men. Peace in the highest. Goodwill toward all men who will surrender to Jesus. There's goodwill. And that peace is Jesus, Ephesians 2:14. He is our peace. He is our peace. And you can rest in that. You can be still in that. You can have that identity, even if you're not perfect, because none of us are, but we're being perfected. And we can still have peace. We can still have rest. We can still know that he has sent us and that he is going to perfect us, and we will be that way when we see him face to face. And so the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace. And so there's two pieces. There's the peace with God, and then there's the peace of God. And let's just look at some scriptures on that really quick about peace, because this is what we're shodding our feet with. How can we talk to people and then act like they're the enemy when they're not the enemy? See, our bigger enemy is actually people in the church that don't know the word of God, because they're running interference and they're diluting the gospel. The world is an enemy with God, but not with me. The world that doesn't know Jesus, that is my mission field. That's the one that God told me to go to and deliver the gospel of peace and share with them that they can have peace with God and no longer be his enemy in Christ Jesus. And then once they have that, they can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I mean, because you can trust God now. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing. Trust God for everything. Worry about nothing, but all things through prayer and supplication. That's trusting God. I'm going to trust this to you, God. I'm going to bring it to your throne of grace, and I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to entrust it that you know what's going on here, because you're the one that's shodding my feet. You're the one that's preparing me. You're the one that's in the future waiting for me to get there. So we can trust him. With thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's a picture of a sentry standing at your heart's door and guarding. Because unless Christ is guarding your heart, anything can get in. But when Christ is guarding your heart, he's the strong man. He's the strongest. He's almighty. Satan is mighty, but God is almighty. And he can guard your heart and not let any of that in if you shod your feet. You meet with him daily. You entrust everything to him and lay it down as you're being clothed with the armor. What was I talking about? Going where? Oh, Romans 5:1.
Oh, what was I talking about?
Romans 5:1, I'm sorry. We're actually going to start in 4:23. I couldn't remember where I was going to go. We're almost done. I don't have much. A few places of commentary to help us. Of course, in Romans 4, he's talking about Abraham and Sarah having faith, and we're convinced that God could, you know, bring a child out of a 100-year-old man. But then he says this in 4:23. Look at 4:23, and we'll move down, because he talks about imputed righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. So he believed God, and it was imputed as righteousness. It was accounted to his account as righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. Remember, Abraham believed God. He didn't even have anybody. He didn't have a child yet, and he believed God. There was no fruit yet of the womb, and he believed God. His head servant was Eleazar of Damascus at that time, that he rescued when he went down to get Lot, and he brought back Eleazar, who was his head servant. But yet he still believed God's word, that God was going to bring from his loins a child, and then his descendants would be as the sand of the sea. And so he believed that, and it was written, and it was imputed to him, but also for us. See, that's a type for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe, that's trust, that's pistio, your spiritual well-being into Christ, who raised, or excuse me, into God, who raised up Jesus, our Lord. And it just happens to be, it's Good Friday, it's going to be Resurrection Weekend here in America. It's really like 24 days difference on the actual calendar in Israel, but we're still there celebrating that here now, and we're looking at that in a way where people can understand the gospel. And we'll talk about that more Sunday. He raised Jesus from the dead, 25, who was delivered up, why? Because of our offenses, our sins, our sin nature. But then he raised the resurrection because of our justification, to make us just as if we never sinned. It's the evidence that's there. Now look, and it just goes right into 5. Therefore, having been just as if we never sinned, by faith, we believe it because we confidently trust God, we have peace, irene. That's the word irene, peace. It can be storms, it can be war, there can be a battle, there can be death all around you, and you can have the peace with God. And then the peace of God, because we know him, and we know he's on the throne, and we know that nobody can overthrow him. With God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. So it's we're justified by faith, we're saved by faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and then our access of everything is by faith into all of his truth, to shod our feet with the preparation of this gospel of peace, so that as ambassadors, we can go out and tell other people about this, as if God was pleading through us, I beseech you, be reconciled to God. There's peace with God, the God that was going to send everybody to hell because the wages of sin is death. He offers peace in his son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for us. The access is by faith into this grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, in which we stand. That's our position, is standing. Histamar, it means to abide, continue, remain, to stand there, and now we're shod in our feet, so we're prepared when the enemy tries to knock us out of our stance, the enemy tries to move us from our position of being saved by grace through faith, when the enemy tries to push us out of what we believe is the truth, and maybe we'll go through suffering, and we'll suffer as an evildoer as Paul did, but we stand in that place that no matter what they do, even if they slay me, we're going to see our God in the land of the living. And they can't do nothing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the finish line. That's the crown. That's when we lay him down at his feet. That's glory. But we've lost our moral standing and our moral stance, and we give up and we give in because we don't know the truth of the word of God, and we can't answer back to those who falsely accuse us, to those who falsely say to us. We can't answer them back. So we need to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us how to answer back with love so that they might get saved. Because they don't even know that they hate God. They just think they believe something and they really hate God. Whether they're being influenced by just a narrative or an indoctrination or some teaching or some pride or it's a demon, they don't know. And when you speak truth and it falls upon their conscience, now they got to deal with that. They got to chew on that. They got to hear that. And then they got to deal with God, not with me. And so we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The finish line. The finish line. So we're having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What are you doing to prepare your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Because if you're in the word, prayer, and fellowship, and you're drawing near to God, and you're confessing your sin, and you're asking the Holy Spirit to lead your life, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Look at John 14:27. We're almost done. I just wanted to show you where Jesus, this is where he's in well, last night of his life, last night, he had instituted it Monday. We call it Monday Thursday. It's where he instituted communion in the upper room. They did the Last Supper, and they instituted communion. Monday means mandating, and he mandated the communion ceremony for the church, and that's why people celebrate that like that, and that's why we take communion, is to remember his death until he comes, because he rose from the dead. But John in 14:27, as he's going out of upper Jerusalem and through 15 the grape arbors, and going to go out of Jerusalem across Brook Kidron and into the Garden of Gethsemane and be arrested by a detachment of troops. So anyway, he says this in 14:27, peace, eirene, I leave with you. My peace, my eirene, I give to you. It's a free gift. We've been given peace. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Listen, he gives us peace. That's what he's offering as the gift, peace with God. We were enemies with God. We were born with a sin nature. God was going to crush us and cast us into hell, and he sent his son to die and give us peace with God forever in eternity and become the bride of Christ. And so we can surrender now. Wave the white flag and surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to wash you and cleanse you and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it's a long time coming. We're going to be prepared as this bride until the day that we'll walk down the aisle with Christ before the Father, before a great cloud of witnesses. We'll walk down the aisle at the banqueting supper of the Lamb. I can't even understand that. Can you understand that? I can't understand it. So as we're learning this, it becomes Romans 10. Let's go back to Romans and we'll close. Oh, I've got Romans 12 too. Romans 10, we don't have to do everything I got. But Romans 10, this is the heart of Paul after he gets saved, right? His heart before salvation, on the road to Damascus to arrest and deliver those up that are trying to pervert the gospel of Judaism and the Jewish faith, and they follow the way, so he's trying to kill them. And boom, on the road to Damascus, he's coming in pomp, and he ends up led in blind, because he falls down on the road because of this bright light. And says, Saul, Saul, why is thou persecuting me? And he says, who art thou, Lord? He says, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. Because, see, there's goads in our life. God allows this person to bring persecution. God allows this person to throw rocks at you. God allows that to happen to get you to cry out to him, to look up to him. He's goading you into believing in him and serving him. And he's pushing and pushing. And here's Paul, who was raised up at the feet of Gamaliel. And Paul was one of the scholars of the Jewish faith. He knew the Old Testament better than anybody, probably. And there he was in all of his pride and his education. And he fell down on the road to Damascus. And then he was led in because he was blind. And that's the type of us being born spiritually blind. And then God sends a witness. He sends Ananias to lay hands on him that he might receive the Holy Spirit and receive his sight and wake up from the dead. And he says, because I will show him how many things he must suffer for me as he goes to be a witness before kings and the Gentiles. And so God's got a whole plan for our life, and he's trying to just kind of gently nudge us and lead us into that and say, I love you, and all we need to do is surrender, right? And here's Paul, and he's writing, and he's writing to Rome. He's writing to Rome, who he's never seen any of them. He doesn't know them. I think he met Ananias, Aquila and Priscilla. We see it in the book of Acts. They came from Rome when persecution came in Rome. And he meets them, and so he knows some of them, but he wants to write to Rome because he wants some fruit of people that he does not know. And then he writes in this chapter, 10, 11, and 12 is really some big chapter, but he writes, and it opens, I'm just going to paraphrase this so we can get out of here. He writes that his heart's desire is for his Jewish nation. And he talks that he would give his own life if he could for their salvation, but it's not possible. They have to give their life. Each person individually has to give their life. And he says they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They have their own righteousness. They've made up their own plan of salvation, but they're ignorant of the righteousness that's from God. And then in 4, he says, 10:4, he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Just concerning righteousness. It's not the end of the law. Neither jot or tittle of the law will pass away until all things are fulfilled. The law is still there. It's just we don't practice the ceremonial law because Christ fulfilled it. We don't practice the sacrificial law because Christ fulfilled it. And I'm not putting you under law. We're under grace, of course. But the law didn't go anywhere. And then I'm not even going to read through this. I mean, but you guys know this. There's a wedding ceremony that goes on here in 10, 9, and 10. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. You believe in what? Believing in Christ. And it produces righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. They're working together, the heart and the mouth, in tandem. They both believe the same thing. And with the heart, the mouth speaks and shares the gospel of peace. Listen, because if you're preparing your feet and you're preparing yourself to stand against the attacks, and as you're attacked, you're going to be already ready to tell people a defense for the hope that was in you. You're going to be ready to share, and that's another word for evangelistic. You become an evangelist through the persecution, through the pain, over and above it because you have the peace of God. Paul was stoned to death in Thessalonica, I think it was, and got back up and went back into the city. And they had to whisk him away to Berea. Anyway, so look, here's where I wanted to get you at, 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, trusted? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's a caruso. You've probably seen the t-shirts. Caruso, that means a heralder of divine truth, to proclaim or publish especially divine truth. They used to call them the town criers. Remember that the town criers would give the news and they'd come out and just walk up and down before they had printing presses and they would yell the news of what was going on so everybody could hear. That's a caruso, a preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? You and I have been sent by the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Go and make disciples. As it is written, and this is written in Isaiah, Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, good news, euangelion. And then and the other word is the euangelizo. And then he quotes the great chapter of Isaiah 53, which is all about Christ. All about Christ. The whole chapter. The gospel in the Old Testament, for sure, plainly. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, the good news, the euangelion. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, I'm not going to go into all of it. You can read it later yourself. Listen to me. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is part of the attitude that the saint has when they're led by the Spirit of God to learn the word of God, to learn what the gospel of peace is. What is the good news? Be reconciled to God. That there's salvation in the name of Jesus and no other name. He's the only name upon heaven and earth. Where salvation is brought, where freedom has come and liberty has come, deliverance from the sin nature. And if you begin to shod your feet and you diligently get into the Word of God, I'm not saying ignore everything else, but put God first. Let Him be the first fruit of your day. Spend time in the Word of God, your daily bread. And as you shod your feet and you do your part, the Holy Spirit's going to do His part. And He's going to begin to use you and anoint you to share with others and have beautiful feet to share the good news with people that come into your pathway. Because once you put it in, oh my goodness, it's like a fire in your bones. It's got to come out. It's got to come out, as Jeremiah said. as he was quitting. He was quitting because nobody would listen. You know, Jeremiah preached for like 40 years and nobody ever, it shows nobody ever going, okay, I believe you, Jeremiah. That's crazy. That's crazy. 40 years, the number of judgment, and nobody listened to him at all. And he wanted to quit the ministry. You can read about it. He's the weeping prophet. He cried for the nation. And we should be that way about souls. We should be concerned about souls, not about how they hurt me and revile for reviling, not about how they spoke to me wrong. And I know this is really difficult. It's easy to talk about, because when somebody throws something at you, you're ready to throw it, catch it and throw it back. Like, oh yeah, really? Touche, we can do this. Let's go. I mean, but we need to die to that. Because really, we want to win their soul to Christ and be able to influence their life later. And we all struggle with that. I know that for sure. So we all struggle with it. But Christ wants us to shod our feet. And the more that we put Christ on and in our heart, the easier it is to die to self and humble ourselves and recognize somebody shared with us. Somebody came to us. Somebody could have ignored us. But what are we going to do once we shod our feet? With the preparation of the gospel of peace, we should stand. Having done all, to stand. That's what we do. We know where our help comes from. We know who our hope is. We know who has given us peace and salvation. And there's nowhere to go. He has the words of eternal life. And so it's so amazing to be able to hide his word in our heart. And then he uses us and gives us the privilege to share the gospel. So now we're shodding our feet, right?
Right.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Messed it up, didn't I?
Rulers.
Against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. I never thought about it before I started talking. I was hoping I could do it. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, and having done all in the evil day to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And next week is 6:16. And take up the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we're going to take up that shield of faith. We're going to look at faith more in depth next week and what's going on with that. And notice, it's above all. That's so amazing. See, because without the shield of faith, you can't even believe that the belt of truth is real. We just talked about it there in Romans 5:1. It has to be by faith. It's there in grace. So next week, write that down, memorize it, begin to think on it and meditate on it so that we can say it out loud. Next week, 6:16 of Ephesians, as we continue through learning from Paul the attitude we should have in putting on Christ. Of course, Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So again, it's Christ. Everything that we're putting on is truth. Christ is truth. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the Word of God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word came to earth and took flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1:14. So he is the truth. He is the Word. He's the Logos. He's the plan. He's everything of God. He's the all in all. And then, of course, he even comes back as the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit, because they're all in the Godhead. So memorize 6:16 and spend time shodding your feet. Get your walk ready so that it's pleasing to God. Without faith, it cannot be pleasing to him. Isn't that cool? We could have beautiful feet. My feet are kind of gnarly.
I thought. You see them in prison when you're in a shower or whatever.
<Shaking funny, isn't it? So God gives us beautiful feet because they bring the gospel. Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace, and thank you for beautiful feet. And we pray that you'd heal our feet, Lord, and make our walk that which you is pleasing to you. And that deliver us, Lord, to the places we need to be, and give us a heart to speak up and speak out, and not to shut up, but to share the gospel, Lord, no matter what. We give you praise and glory, and we pray, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
You do that.